Hello, dear friends. This is Paul Scharf, Church Ministries representative with the Friends of Israel Gospel Ministry. It's my joy to be with you today to talk again about the Passover and to think about this very important topic. And I greet you on behalf of the Friends of Israel and thank you for joining me here for this session. Today, as we think again about the Passover, we have much more coming from Friends of Israel about the Passover in just over a week. If you're watching it as I'm releasing it in late March of 2021, you can join us on Thursday, April 1 at 6 Central, 7 Eastern for a live online Passover with Steve Herzik and Chris Katulka. And there's much more information for you there at foi.org/Passover. This is one of several videos that I'm compiling from the vast amount of material that I'm compiling as I research and study the topic of the Passover and the Passover Seder. And so you can find the other videos here in this series and other things that may interest you here on sermonaudio.com/psharf. And I invite you to join me there often and see the latest content that I provide. Thanks so much for your interest in our ministry with the Friends of Israel. So I'm talking to you today more about the Passover. Again, this is one of these videos that shares a thought that I take time to develop, that I may not be able to do that when I'm speaking in a church because there's so much, especially if I'm there primarily to present the Seder. But we're thinking about Christ, our Passover lamb who has been sacrificed. And in this session, we're thinking about Passover and the Abrahamic covenant. I've been amazed as I've studied this topic at how the Passover is just so intrinsically tied to the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant that God gave to Abraham first in Genesis 12. In fact, from my seminary notes on the book of Exodus, from a class with Dr. John Whitcomb, my theological mentor, this is not a direct quote, but it's taken from the notes, to say how the Exodus was the first step toward the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. And Dr. Whitcomb mentioned how that God actually blessed Egypt. You know, he's blessing the whole world through their relation to Israel. And in this way, sort of in a way we might not intuitively think about, but God blessed Egypt by smashing their false gods. See Exodus 12:12. This was actually a blessing to Egypt. God is working out the Abrahamic covenant, which is the backbone of all of history from the time forward from whence it's given. And we find that covenant, of course, in Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And again, Dr. Whitcomb showing that God really blessed Egypt. On the basis of the Abrahamic covenant, even in the judgment that he delivered to Egypt at the time of the Passover. But of course, he's also blessing the people of Israel positively in fulfillment of his word to Abraham, in keeping of his word. The Moody Bible Commentary says, "In Exodus, the Lord is shown to be the God who keeps his covenant promise to the nation." And so the Abrahamic covenant is found here in the early chapters of Exodus. I was just really fascinated as I went through and saw this. In Exodus 2, as the people are groaning, God answered their cries and remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Exodus 2, 23 through 25, reading here from the New King James Version of the Bible. In Exodus 3, 6, when God is calling Moses at the burning bush, he identifies himself as the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And so he's again tying all of this, what would happen in Moses' life in the history of the people of Israel, to the Abrahamic covenant, to the unfolding outworking of the Abrahamic covenant. Chapter 3, 15 and 16, when Moses asks how he should identify God who has met with him here, And God gives this great statement, I am who I am, in verse 14. And he says, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. He repeats that in verse 16 with regard to what Moses is to tell the elders of Israel. This is the grounding. This is the identity of Moses, the servant of God, in God who keeps covenant that he made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, we have Moses receiving a sign that he will show to authenticate his position that God is granting him as leader of the people of Israel. And you can read all about what happened there with Moses' rod. And in verse 5, God tells him that this is done so that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now here also in chapter 4, we have a reference to Israel as God's son, his firstborn. Exodus 4, 22 and 23. And God says, if you refuse to let him go, indeed I will kill, speaking to Egypt, your son, your firstborn. And of course, that's what would happen. Israel is God's firstborn, and when Egypt mistreated God's firstborn, he took their firstborn. This is, again, in line with, in keeping with, the promises God gave to Abraham in the great covenant that he made with Abraham in Genesis 12 and repeated, reiterated, reemphasized all through the life of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, through the book of Genesis, now into Exodus, the Abrahamic covenant. In chapter 6, verses 3 through 8, this is the great I am the Lord message that the Lord God delivered to Moses. And in it, notice, it's rooted, it's grounded, it's tied. It's chained to the Abrahamic covenant. God identifies himself as the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I was not known to them. Now that's an interesting verse. We'll consider a couple of comments about it here in a second. But all the way down to verse 8, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you as a heritage. I am the Lord. And this great section, I hope to make a separate video regarding this amazing I am the Lord statement that is found here in chapter 6. But to just sum up what is going on here, the Moody Bible Commentary states the idea here is the patriarchs knew of the God who made the promise of a great nation, but this generation, Moses' generation, and the generation that conducted the conquest would know him as the God who keeps the promise of making them a great nation and leading them out of bondage. So a tremendous insight, I believe, here into what is happening. With regard, sometimes people get hung up on the end of verse 3, I was not known to them by my name, Lord. And I believe this makes a good comment on that particular point. The Jeremiah Study Bible also says, this is the same Yahweh of the patriarchs, the same Lord of the Abrahamic covenant, but in the events of the Exodus, his name would be fully known. Fully known. And he is... To go to the larger point here of what we're developing in this brief session, he is showing his faithfulness to the people of Israel and to the covenant that he has made with them, the Abrahamic covenant. Why is God faithful to his people? Why did he choose them at all? Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 11 gives the answer from God's perspective. He did not set his love on them nor choose them, verse 7, because they were more in number than any people, for they were the least of all people. But it's because God loves them. He's chosen them. He's made a sovereign choice. He's elected them to be his chosen people in his love. In his love. And They are to be, therefore, a holy people. And he has chosen them, and he has determined that he would, verse 8, keep the oath which he swore to their fathers. And verse 9, he is the God, the faithful God who keeps covenant. And verse 11, therefore you are to keep the commandment and the statutes that he has given. And so this passage gives great insight here again into the importance of the Abrahamic covenant and God's determination to work out the fulfillment of his promise to the people of Israel, the promise that he gave in the Abrahamic covenant. And it's woven throughout the whole narrative here then in Exodus. Everything about the Passover is tied to the Abrahamic covenant. And I'm not sure I've ever really heard anyone talk about that directly, or other than Dr. Whitcomb here in the notes that I mentioned, or really thought about it other than that. And it just struck me what an important subject to develop. And again, this is just sort of a planting a seed here in this short message. Just sort of an issue that probably I could not develop in, as I said, in teaching on Passover in a Sunday morning in a church, because there's just so much to say. And so I want to allow people to come back and listen and supplement what we've talked about when we were together, or to listen to these things ahead of time and be prepared. And this is certainly an area where we could do much more thinking and certainly much more teaching and flesh out these concepts and develop them. But friends, the importance of the Abrahamic covenant to the call of Moses, the faithfulness of God to his people, his bringing them up out of Egypt back to the promised land, his delivering them, and even the Passover event itself. And when the children of Israel participate in Passover, it is to be a remembrance of his faithfulness to them, in which he is keeping his promise, keeping his word of the Abrahamic covenant. The ESV Study Bible notes, Exodus emphasizes throughout the book that Yahweh has remembered his covenant with Israel, will bring them out of Egypt, and will instruct them on how to live as his people as he dwells in their midst. Well, thank you for joining me for this short look at Christ our Passover here in the specific theme of Passover and the Abrahamic covenant. And it's such a vital subject that we understand both ends of this, the Abrahamic covenant and the importance of the Passover. And I trust that this video will help you grow in your understanding as you consider the things that I've said here and meditate upon them. May the Lord give you his wisdom, and may he enrich your celebration of Christ our Passover in this season as we lead up to a Resurrection Sunday. Thanks so much for joining me. There'll be a few notes here before the video ends, and I'll talk to you next time. God bless you.